Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search. Type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, police violence, one world two laws and many applications. Is there a separate law for blacks and minorities in the United States of America? Is there a separate law for law enforcement? What about black law enforcement? Do they all have a license to kill? First, to all law enforcement officers who respect the lives of others and conduct themselves in a professional manner, thank you, and do more to improve this system. To all those who encounter police on the street, in your homes, in the mall or wherever you might be, the highway, please try to do a little better. It's not to put fault on individuals. It's just that I think that we all need to come together and try to make this situation a little bit better. Of course, we're not always going to have a perfect situation, but let's try not to make it a situation where somebody gets killed or seriously injured or injured at all, especially for these non-violent offenses where people seem to be ending up dead for. Look at George Floyd. Anyway, that license to kill may seem over the top to some folk, but when you look at it with open eyes, it's not that far-fetched. What about license to dictate the truth and or control the narrative? It isn't what you see. It is how the officer interprets what you see or from his point of view. The motivation or energy behind the assaults and killings of these brothers appear to be rooted in systemic racism and authoritarianism. The motivation behind the centuries of violence is a lack of consequences for assaulting a politically vulnerable population within the society. Maybe some jokers simply enjoy assaulting people they normally would have no chance of assaulting. Maybe it's just a job that scares the hell out of you sometimes. For the record, and I'm going to continue to say this, for the record, I feared for my life is an unacceptable reason for murdering anyone. For the record, I feared for my life is an unacceptable reason for murdering anyone without the presence of an imminent threat. Right about now, and probably before, folks are in fear for their life when they encounter police. Is that really how we want this tragedy to play out? From Snopes. As a fact, I'm finding group. I say, according to the most recent census data, there were nearly 160 million more white people in America than there are black people. White people make up roughly 62% of the U.S. population, but only about 49% of those who are killed by police officers. African Americans, however, account for 24% of those fatally shot and killed by the police, despite being just 13% of the U.S. population. As the Post noted in a news analyst, that means black Americans are 2.5 times as likely as white Americans to be shot and killed by police officers. The grim trend has carried over into 2016 of the 1,034 people killed and tracked by Burkhart's Fatal Encounters database. So far, 215 were black, while 338 were white. So they said so far, when this study was done in 2016, black Americans have been three times more likely than white people to die in interactions with police. That statistic holds for figures sent to them by Burkhart, compiled between January 1st, 2013 to September 21st, 2016, with suicides by a cop removed. That's the person that set himself up to be killed by police. I've been hearing these statistics forever. Yet nothing appears to have changed. These two victims, which I'm going to discuss today, first, are a grim reminder of where we stand or fall regarding police violence. This is outside of George Floyd, because that is another grim reminder. But recently, we have these incidents after the George Floyd incident, which is, it's not amazing. I'm not even going to say I'm surprised. Not surprised, not amazing. It's like, come on, we can do better. Adam Toledo, a young 13-year-old Latino boy, young man in Chicago, right? It was a fatal killing of a 13-year-old boy. He was, allegedly out at night with an older 21-year-old adult in the wee hours of the morning. And there was some shooting going on. Police came. This guy, Adam, took off, right? Ran down the alleyway like police told him to turn around, show me your hands. He turned around, put his hands up, and was shot, right? Anyway, the police officer said this 13-year-old had a gun. Had a gun is past tense, and as does the video evidence shows and supports the fact that the youth was unarmed when he turned around to show his hands to the officer. The youth was told to stop and show his hands, and he did so with his hands raised up to his shoulders. And he was shot by the police officer just as soon as he turned around. You would think, maybe it was dark and he thought he had a gun. Nope. It had some kind of light shining on the kid. I mean, it was bright. You could see the white light hitting the kid. And I'm pretty sure that kid was not expecting to get murdered that night as he turned around with his hands up in the air. But that's exactly what happened to him. He had a gun is a testimony or witness to the fact that he did not have a gun when he turned around. It is also misleading and an attempt to justify the shoot. He had a gun. He didn't say if he had a gun on him or, he had a gun when you first started chasing him, but didn't have a gun when you shot him. He just said he had a gun. That's not a reason to shoot somebody. He had a gun. If a person had a gun, tossed it in a trash can and turned around at you, like with his hands up, why are you shooting them? Especially after you told them, let me see your hands. Stop. Let me see your hands. Put some hands up. That doesn't make sense. The question is, why did this police officer kill this young man when he did what he asked him to do? What is the reason for the objectively, in the moment, split-second decision to take his life? Did the officer see a gun when the officer fired and killed the youth? Did he see a gun? Did he see a gun in his hand? There is no gun in the youth's hands or on his person in the video. The gun is not within the youth's reach. Therefore, there is no lethal threat, especially because he's turned around under some lights, bright lights, that are being shined on him with his hands up. And he's shot just as soon as he turns around. The fact that this 13-year-old should not have been out on the street with an adult with a firearm has no bearing on why the officer shot and killed him when he turned around with his hands up. Nor does the fact that the youth was carrying a firearm, which he had to drop before he turned around with nothing in his hands, thinking, trusting, he was surrendering to police. Maybe it is Chicago police policy to shoot and kill a suspect who had a gun. Is that Chicago police policy? Is that police policy in this country? If you had, past tense, a gun, you can be murdered by police when they tell you to turn around with your hands up? Is that policy? If that is the policy, it will encourage armed suspects not to comply, even to defend their life, when presented with a similar situation. Which brings me to, how come police get to kill and say they feared for their life? Or, I thought I saw a putty cat, you know, and civilians don't. A chase, a confrontation, and you can hear the news reporting how the youth turned around quickly. Well, police chasing you with a gun, you got your back turned in an alleyway. You want the police to see your hands up as soon as possible, right? And that you don't have nothing on you. They already see the back of you and your hands is up so they can see the front. They can see that you have nothing when you turn around. The mayor or the police commissioner talked about how Chicago felt Adam. How Adam had no business out in the late hours of the night with an armed adult. That's true. And we are filling out our youth in this country. Not just Chicago, in our homes, in our communities, and politically. Well, I didn't hear him say anything about how the youth should not have been shot while complying with police commands. He should not have been shot with his hands up just after he turned around, after being told to show the officer his hands. I didn't hear anybody say anything, any comment on that. It's odd. You know, I found that strange. I thought, wow. I remember a story about a guy named Kyle Rittenhouse, 17-year-old, armed with an AR-15 rifle in Kenosha, Wisconsin, right? Killed two men and shot another one, almost shot his arm off, right? During a protest, right? He was not taken in police custody. His weapon was not taken away from him, and he's underage to even have a weapon. And he has an assault rifle, an AR-15. Y'all don't know what that looks like. That's a machine gun. If you've seen any of the cop shows, they have that. What's that? SWAT. They usually have guns like that. Chicago PD uses them also. So Philadelphia police or Chicago police use them. So, you know, police departments use it, you know, when they have some serious business, I guess, to take care of. Anyway, the weapon was not taken away. He was not gunned down during the protest due to Jacob Blake's shooting, right? He was instructed to go home or something, even though people were telling the police that he had just killed two people and shot another back in August 2020. They had to see him shoot, at least see him shoot the last guy. Somebody had to see it. Anyway, U.S. from the U.S. News. After the shootings, Rittenhouse can be seen walking toward police with his gun slung over his shoulder and his hands in the air. Police riding in tactical vehicles roll right past him. This is a guy that just murdered two people. Shot three, murdered two. He later turned himself in, right, in his hometown, Antioch, Illinois, according to the Kenosha police chief. Ain't that nice? He get to kill two, shoot one, keep his gun, and keep his life. He's still breathing. Nobody worried about this guy coming down the street with an AR-15. Can somebody explain to me which is more dangerous? That guy who just murdered, shot three, murdered two, coming down the street with an AR-15, or a 13-year-old running down the street away from police, tossing a handgun in an alleyway? I don't know. I'm no genius, but just something just doesn't seem right. I say, oh, man, that's just that one time. Like, oh, maybe just overlooked him. I don't know. Whatever. I can't even explain why this kid wasn't why nobody gunned him down. He had a gun in his hand. He just murdered two people. Anyway, so I said, let me see the checks. See if there's any more, you know, incidents like that. Probably not. Not so. Dylan Roof. Y'all remember that guy? Dylan Roof, white guy. Oh, Kyle Rittenhouse is a Caucasian. He shot three Caucasians, killed two during the protest. Jacob Blake, who was black. Dylan Roof. Another white young man. Murdered nine churchgoers. And was apprehended without incident. Without incident. He murdered nine people. And he sat down who invited him, welcomed him into the church, worshiped with him. And then he proceeded to murder them. So the police chief told the Charlotte Observer that when Roof complained he was hungry, cops went to a nearby Burger King and bought the accused mass murderer a meal while he was in custody. Now, I don't know who's listening, but how many of y'all ever been in custody and the police took you to get a snack? How many of you ever got a snack in custody? Now, just right there, if you're listening, you got to be thinking something's wrong with this picture. Adam Toledo gets a trip to the county morgue, not even to the hospital, because police are trained to kill or shoot Cinemass, which is to kill. Cinemass, where all your most of your vital organs are outside of your brain. The question is, are they trained to shoot unarmed people with their hands in the air and bright lights shining in their face? Cinemass. Because that's exactly what happened. So, is this a good shoot? Really? Dylan Roof gets a meal, not his last meal. but a meal at Burger King because he is hungry after murdering 9 people who accepted him into their fold to worship. He's a monster. That is a monster. You hear me? Dylann Roof is a monster. They took this monster to Burger King. Arrested without incident. Oh, my tummy hurts. Oh, let's get you something to eat, champ. Something's wrong with this picture. Then we had this other incident. I think this guy was about 20. Dante Wright. And these two incidents are the reason why I'm even doing this show. I would like to not even do another show about police shootings, unarmed people in non-violent confrontations, non-life-threatening conversations. I will one day not have one of those shows to do. But it just seems like it's one of those things you just can't get rid of it. Anyway, here we have a young black man in a traffic stop that turned arrest for an outstanding misdemeanor warrant. I think his mom said he's smoking some marijuana or something. I guess he didn't go to court or something. 2 police officers were attempting to handcuff Wright as he breaks loose and jumps into his car. They had stopped him because his tags, he didn't have tags on the car. And so he was on the phone calling his mom before they had got to him and trying to give him instruction what to do. Anyway, he broke loose, jumped in the driver's seat. The guys tried to wrestle him out. They were struggling with him, right, trying to get him out the car, 2 police officers. Then this 26-year veteran pulls her sidearm, yells, "Taser, taser," and shoots Wright at close range. Right? She yells, "Taser, taser." The officers remove themselves from close proximity to Dante Wright. She shoots him at close range in the driver's seat of his car. He drives away, wounded. Now, call me crazy, it's all right, but are we supposed to believe that this 26-year police veteran could not, did not tell the difference between a firearm and a taser? It didn't look like a taser in the video. She had time to correct that mistake and didn't. She was pointing at him. You can see it. Watch the video on these 2 shootings, y'all. She was pointing the weapon until these cops got out of her way so that she could shoot. The police stated he feels because she stated taser, taser, he feels she accidentally discharged her firearm. Well, you know what? You accidentally bump into people. You know what I'm saying? That's an accident. Oh, excuse me. But you talking about you accidentally shot somebody with your gun, which you thought was a taser? Are you kidding? How bizarre does that sound for a 26-year-old veteran? Happens to be a training officer at that. What happens when a civilian shoots someone at close range, yells, "Taser, taser," and says, "I thought it was a taser"? Is this how they explain, how they plan to excuse this homicide, explain it away? Taser, taser, oops. She must have thought it was a taser because she said, "Taser, taser." What does it say for her? Did she pull the gun, the weapon out with her eyes closed? She couldn't see the gun pointed right in front of her where she's aiming at this young man. Anybody put something in your hand, anything, point it in front of you. Tell me, what do you see? Hold something, anything in your hand. Point it out in front of you for a second. Tell me what you see. Just bring it up, bam, what it is. You see exactly what it is. Put something else in your hand. Put it up in front of you, bam. For the first second, you see exactly what it is, because you're pointing it at the thing, your hand at the target, and the object in your hand is in within eyesight. So somebody's going to have to explain that to me. There must be some super science to explain that, because you can't tell me she didn't know she had a gun in her hand. An accidental discharge? More like gross negligence and violation of rights, constitutional rights, and right to life. Members of the community are asking for the officer to be fired. I think she should be fired for taking the life of right. It's unexcusable. Now she's being paid on administrative leave instead of being charged for murder and right. It's on the video. I don't understand this shit. The mayor has asked for the officer to be fired. What a statement. The mayor is asking for the officer. What kind of nonsense? Is the mayor in charge of the city or not? Anyway, what is the real reason for the use of the taser on a person behind the wheel of a car in the first place? Let's just take the real gun out of the picture. We're going to do one of these what-if things they're doing in the George Floyd trial. What if? Even if she thought she had a taser, she'd be just as wrong. That is particularly dangerous, as we see after being shot. Wright drove and crashed the car. He could have ran people over. He could have ran a little kid over. Could have ran a cop over. What is the need for a taser? Why would you tase somebody behind the wheel of a car anyway? Many others could have been injured or killed. All of this for an expired tag or no tag? It was known that there was a 2 to 3 month delay in getting tags, and the police chief and staff were aware of this. I think, what kind of car was he in? Looked like a pretty nice car. Wasn't a Cadillac, nothing like that. Attorney Ben Crump stated, she was a training officer, so it is not about training. This is the lady who trains people. She's a training officer, a 26-year police veteran. He said it's about implicit bias, giving the same respect to people of color as white Americans get, instead of using the most force when dealing with black Americans. Is that why Adam was killed? Is that why Dante Wright was killed? You might say these guys were resisting a lawful command, resisting arrest, committing a crime. Their ethnicity had nothing to do with it. But I think you'd be wrong. I wonder, why would the officer point her service weapon and yell, taser, taser? And I thought, maybe, because officers are trained to move away from the suspect to allow the suspect to be tased so that they don't get harmed. It also provides an alibi, however unbelievable, that the 26-year-old training veteran officer made an error in actually pulling her firearm out, pointing it at Dante instead of a taser, even after pulling her firearm out, didn't know she had a gun, didn't know, thought it was a taser, pointing it, and I want anybody, if you get the time, pick up something ever, just put it in your fingertips. It don't even have to be the size of a gun, and point it in front of you, tell me if you see what you have in your hands. Tell me, how is it possible for her not to have seen her firearm instead of her taser? Are we supposed to believe that? She could have possibly noticed. She couldn't have possibly noticed she had her firearm pointed at right before she pulled the trigger. Remember, all she has to do is explain it away in court. We don't have that opportunity. But it seems like police, they get all kinds of perps. They can say almost anything they want to say, even on killing somebody. It's anything. Listen to the George Floyd trial. You can say whatever you want to say. Of course, I don't know. So I just kept looking for things. I said, let me check out. What happens when a black cop shoots people? So I went to AP News, Associated Press, said, black cop shooting a white woman treated differently. Black cops shooting a white woman treated differently. Sentenced to, this guy was sentenced to 12.5 years. He stated the moment he pulled the trigger, he felt fear. Fear was not a factor. You understand this? In this black cop's situation. Oh, now he got some law enforcement perks, but he didn't get the same perk that some of these other murdering cops get. So Mohammed Noor was sharply criticized, right, by the then police chief, while others wrongly alleged he was a fast-track affirmative action hire for the city trying to diversify its police department, basically trying to say, hey, threw him under the bus. Hey, he shouldn't even been on. We just let him on just so we can fill our quota. Right? White lady had called, was fatally shot. I think she had called for police or something. The lady was immediately portrayed as an innocent victim, peaceful woman who was trying to help someone else by calling 911. See, this shooting victim is an angel. I'm not saying she's an angel or not. I'm just saying how the scenario went. The cop was thrown under the bus and basically saying, hey, he's an affirmative action hire. We just hired him because of his color of his skin. That's why he's here. It said the black Louisiana law enforcement officer was found guilty of manslaughter in a fatal shooting of a six-year-old boy with autism and was sentenced to 40 years in prison. This is from NBC News. This is New Louisiana, right? Derek Stafford was sentenced to 40 years without parole. 40 years without, listen to this, 40 years without parole. Derek Stafford, 33, sentenced to 40 years without parole for manslaughter in the death of Jeremy Mardis, and 15 years for the attempted manslaughter of Christopher Few. The sentences ran concurrent, right? Stafford and another deputy city marshal attempted to pull Few over, and they engaged in, they had a car chase, right? I saw that video, right? So this guy pulled over somewhere, stuck his hands out the window of the driver's side, and they fired him up. These two black cops. Norris Greenhouse Jr., 25. He was also charged with second-degree murder. They had fired 18 times, and five rounds went into the head and chest of the six-year-old. That's very sad. On two accounts. One, dad's in the car with his six-year-old autistic son. The police stop him. Why are you in a car chase? See, a little animal ran down the street, right? With the gun, right? Well, this guy here was in a car chase, all right, with his six-year-old son. No reason to shoot him. Absolutely no reason to shoot him. Anyway, notice second-degree murder. Even, that's odd because the man was not armed and had stopped and placed his hands outside the vehicle window. The man wasn't armed. The only reason for using lethal force here is simply because they wanted to use lethal force. They received a law enforcement pass from being charged with first-degree murder for some reason, just like Solvin. He got a pass. Nobody charged him with first. He should have been charged with first, second, and third-degree murder. But they didn't do that. That's the kind of break they get right here. That's first-degree murder. You can see that tape also. Oh, they shot this guy for nothing. Yet they were charged with second-degree murder and given a hefty sentence for a law enforcement officer, right? 40 years, right? They killed the autistic son who was in a car. I don't think they could see the kid in the car, but that's the result of shooting, trying to kill someone you have no business trying to kill. Did they really think they would get a justified shoot for killing an unarmed white guy on video or a white child on video? Guess the brutal killing of the white six-year-old all but put the final nail in their coffin. From NBC News, y'all might remember this one. Walter Scott and Michael Slager, I think he was a state trooper, wasn't he? Slager was sentenced to 20 years in prison. That's a lot, right? But look what Slager did. And you'll see what the 20-year break that he got. Slager's white, Walter Scott, black. The police officers in the shooting of, these two young police officers, in Louisiana, two black officers, the man, Christopher Few is a white man, and of course his son is white, right? Walter Scott, a black man, right, was shot in April 2015, right? In the back, he was stopped. I think he had some bench warrants or something, domestic something, bench warrants or something crazy. Slager shot Scott with malice. They said U.S. District Attorney in issuing the sentence said Slager shot Scott with malice and recklessness and then gave false testimony to investigators. Norton ruled that Slager, 36, was guilty of second-degree murder and obstruction of justice. All right. This is some old stuff, and this was big. I remember when it happened. I saw the videotape of the guy that happened to be near, videotaped the whole shooting. The guy that shot this man in the back as he's running away. Is that first-degree murder or not? I don't know. He got the cops perp, so they control that part of what was going to happen to this guy. I said, okay, we're not going to give him we're not going to charge him with first-degree murder. And they gave him 20 years for this egregious act that it was on tape. I think he tried to plant a gun next to the guy. Slager fired 8 shots as Scott ran away, striking him 5 times, including 3 in the back. The coroner said even after he shot Slager, the hero cop, handcuffs Scott's arms behind his back. Gotta make it look good, right? Gotta make this criminal look like the criminal he is you want him to be, right? So, it's weird. So, I guess I'm saying this to say, wow. We got one world, but we got two laws, many applications. as it applies to black cops, as it applies to white police officers. As it applies to black cops shooting white folks, and white cops shooting, I guess, anybody. I guess white cops getting away with shooting, killing anybody. It's difficult to land a conviction on them, but they're starting to get to do something, as something happened with this guy. But this first degree murder. You shooting a man that's running away. He's not presenting a threat to you in the back 8 times. That's 8 attempts to murder that man. But they gave him second degree murder. See, that's a perk. 20 years looked like it. Looked like, oh, yeah, they got him 20 years. No. He got 20 years. He'd be out. 56. He'll be out walking the street. Tell you who won't be walking the street. Walter Scott. Watch the video. 20 years represent a pass on being charged with first-degree murder. The death penalty or life imprisonment for what is clearly first-degree murder. There appears to be 2 things in motion. How white law enforcement is treated and how non-white law enforcement is treated, particularly when they kill a white person. It appears that law enforcement are fearful of people they come in contact with, and this is a major contributor to lethal outcomes. Fear, hatred, and the devaluing of a person's life increases the risk of a lethal outcome. I saw a video of the shooting of an unarmed white man by some white cops during a traffic stop. I think this guy was 19 years old. He refused to obey police orders to show them both his hands. Had one hand up, another hand he put down to his waist, like, right? Had on a t-shirt, right? Baggy t-shirt. And he was in a truck. So police had approached the vehicle with guns pointed at the man. He got out, right? And they was telling him, put your hands up. Keep your hands in the air. Let me see your hands. Don't reach for nothing, right? So he got out. He put one hand down by his side. The cop shot him twice. Bam, bam. Right? And he fell to the ground. He was about maybe a car length away from the cops when he shot him. He fell to the ground, rolled over, grabbed his stomach, like, you know, his waist or something. They told him, stop reaching. We told you to stop reaching. Bow! Tell you to stop reaching. Then the guy with a shotgun shot him. Bam! I'm like, what the hell? The man was shot twice. Not 17 times after reaching towards his waist. They shot him twice. As he lay on the ground, police continued to tell him to stop reaching for his waist. Let me see your hands. As the man grabbed his wound, apparently looked like he didn't pain, he shot. You get hit somebody, just be still and they shot and in pain anyway. They shot him again with a pistol and a shotgun, right? And told him he would be shot again if he didn't comply, and then eventually kill him. They shot him a shotgun within a car length away. Now, why am I saying this? All this happened in broad daylight in the summer. The guy had a t-shirt, and he was lying on the ground. It was white cop and a white suspect. Now, if they do it to a white guy, black guy don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance. And I'm saying this to say, look, when y'all out there, right, don't contribute to your own jeopardy. Try to remain calm. Don't make no sudden moves. That may sound crazy too, because of Orlando Castle It's not here. He was calm. He was he alerted the police. He was licensed, had a weapon. They asked for his paperwork from his car. As he went to retrieve the paperwork, the officer standing at his window shot him about four times at close range, talking about, "Don't reach for the gun. Don't reach with the..." Like, yo, man had his wife, his woman, and his baby in the car. And he did what he, Orlando was doing what he thought was the proper thing to do. I alerted the police officer that I'm a licensed gun carrier, firearms carrier, and I am I have a firearm in my possession. And he was murdered. And this police officer, not guilty. So that's what we're talking about, the license to kill. He killed a guy that wasn't trying to kill him. How does that equal justice anywhere on the planet? Man wasn't trying to kill you, wasn't even trying to, wasn't committing a crime, number one, wasn't trying to harm you in any way, wasn't being aggressive. Yet this guy went from zero to 200 just because this man reached to get some paperwork he asked for and gunned this man down at close range. That's what we're talking about, license to kill, when we talk about one world, two laws, many applications. It seems like if you get on a black man, just say you were afraid, I thought I saw a pretty cat, and you're probably going to beat that case. I said, what's the little girl name? She claim to live on the third floor, went to the fourth floor apartment with a big red carpet in front of the door, and was able to get into the apartment. I don't even know how that happened. If you had the wrong apartment, I said, that's impossible for you to get in there. She said the door was ajar, and she went in there, saw a man in there, and proceeded to kill him. Not arrest him, kill. And she did kill him. She wasn't arrested on the scene. She wasn't shot or nothing. She's a police officer. She was allowed to turn herself in after killing a man in his own apartment. Anyway. They said this guy was might have been suicidal. This white guy that these white cops shot. Anyway, there are the kind of acts of fear, apprehension. These acts are fear, apprehension, or cowardly and cold-bloodedness that appear to place citizens' lives at great risk. These acts, you so fearful, you anticipating something in your mind. You're a coward because you're not brave just because you put on a uniform. That don't make you brave. You're not brave because you got a gun on your side. You got lots of folks running around with guns on their side. They're not really the bravest people. They just have no respect for life. They don't mind pulling that trigger. Cold-bloodedness. With police officers like that, It's no wonder a black man doesn't stand a snowball chance in hell. Get the cowards off the police force, out of law enforcement, period. Get the cowards off the police force, out of law enforcement, period. You don't have to worry about nobody making up no wild story, excusing, murdering, or shooting, paralyzing somebody. Get them cowards off them. Get the aggressive, predacious, monstrous officers off the police force, out of law enforcement. They don't have to go to court lying, have to start lying to the public. Get the hateful, disrespectful, tyrannical, oppressive individuals off the police force and out of law enforcement. Come on, y'all. Clean up your act. This is ridiculous. How many people got to die? How many unarmed people have to die that don't have to die? Simply because you got these idiots on the police force who don't know how to deal with human behavior, who are so afraid that any move you make is a threat to their life. Whether it's a threat or not, if I scratch my head, you blow my brains out. What kind of nonsense is that? I fear for my life. You fear for your life, stay at home. Get your job at a daycare. Last thing you need is a coward or a maniac on the police force. And it's not much difference between the two. Speaking of lying on the ground, this white guy was shot multiple times lying on the ground. Shot him with a shotgun and a pistol, right? Maybe a shotgun shot once and a pistol shot him another time. I don't know if they shot him again after that or not. But speaking of being shot while lying on the ground, in the case of the murder of Laquan McDonald in October 2014 in Chicago, Illinois, a 17-year-old African-American was fatally shot by a Chicago police officer, then Jason Van Dyke, right? Police initially reported that McDonald was behaving erratically while walking down the street, refusing to put down a knife he was carrying. He had one on little pocket knives, right? Not the Michael Myers, whatever them dudes were, Jason or whoever kind of knife. Not one of them joints. The little pocket knife, you know, the camping-like joint, something like that. Little knife, little something, right? Not making an excuse for this guy. It's not a good idea to walk down the street with a knife in your hand and not listen to the police when they tell you to stop or drop and or drop that weapon. McDonald was shot in his neck, chest, back, both arms, right leg, and a grazed wound to his left scalp. 9 of the 16 shots hit McDonald's back, and he was shot as he lay on the ground. His death was ruled a homicide, right? So this guy, Jason Van Dyke, right? Police are already on the scene, right? Jason Van Dyke comes on the scene, driving to the scene, drives to where McDonald was walking down the street, gets out of his vehicle. Within 30 seconds, he shoots and kills Laquan McDonald. I think he shot him once, hit the ground. The other 15... you can see that on videotape also. He's shooting this guy while he's on the ground, and he's saying he's a threat. He said initially that McDonald came towards him with a knife. Mind you, police are not supposed to create their own jeopardy. There were already police on the scene around Laquan McDonald, and they already identified him as acting erratically, which means that they already identified him. There's some mental health stuff going on here. Anyway, McDonald actually was walking away when Van Dyke chose to murder him. The first shot hit McDonald, who spun around and fell to the ground. As McDonald lay on the ground, still holding the knife, Van Dyke fired more shots into him because, you know, he might be able to throw that knife from the ground into McDonald's neck. He might have had that skill. We, you know, your cop would never know that. Anyway, Van Dyke fired 16 shots at McDonald in 14 to 15 seconds. That means he was pulling that trigger as fast as he could. He shot out his whole capacity, the whole capacity of his semi 9mm firearm, a 9mm, right? He was on the scene less than 30 seconds. The first responding officer said he did not see the need to use force, and none of the at least eight other officers on the scene fired their weapons. Just the hero, Jason Van Dyke. So what the hell happened? Well, what happened 13 months later. 13 months. Now, with this videotape, watch the videotape, right? 13 months later, right? The videotape, the dash cam video of the shooting was shown 13 months later. It showed McDonald walking away from the police when he was shot 16 times. The same day, Officer Van Dyke was charged with first-degree murder and initially held without bail in the Cook County Jail. See, that's 13 months later. Police knew exactly what happened for 13 months. But police don't cover up stuff. They would never, police officers would never ever cover, ever lie on a report. They don't do that because they're like Boy Scouts with guns. He was found guilty of second degree murder as well as 16 counts of aggravated battery with a firearm, but was found not guilty of official misconduct. What the hell is going on with that? He was sentenced to 6.75 years in prison for second-degree murder conviction alone, which is permitted by Illinois law. The Supreme, Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul filed a request with the Illinois Supreme Court to vacate Van Dyke's sentence for second-degree murder and impose a sentence on each of the 16 aggravated battery counts. The request was denied without comment. With all those other police officers on the scene, still, Jason Van Dyke received a police officer pass for 13 months. He received a cover-up, right? Instead of being charged with first-degree murder, he was charged with second-degree murder. Pass, right? Got a police officer's pass right there, right? Which does not explain why he shot Laquan 15 times while on the ground. Are you kidding me? Is this not first degree murder? Is it? What? How come we can see civilians kill first degree, but we can't see police officers when they kill in the first degree? It's the blue blinding. Could it be that Van Dyke, though, thought there would be no consequences for his actions? He was found not guilty of official misconduct. How crazy is that when you murder someone within 30 seconds of arriving on the scene? What kind of double talk is that? Jason Van Dyke is white and Laquan McDonald is black. Poe and black. July 19th, 2019, the Chicago Police Board fired four police officers for allegedly covering up a white officer's 2014 fatal shooting of a black teenager, Laquan McDonald. On January 17th, 2019, they were acquitted of the cover-up charges. As my friend likes to say, they were giving, it looks like an investigation, right? But what it is an opportunity to explain it away. The kangaroo is a joke. They get you in these courtrooms and they hammer you. They hammer the victims. That systemic unwritten policy is going to hurt us all and add to the chaos we already have to live and die in. Why? As my good friend says, they want to get it in court so they can explain it away. Lessen the blow. Eliminate the consequences as possible. That's going to hurt us all and add to the chaos we already live in, live and die in. Black people have always been subjected to the racist, oppressive, aggressive culture of white supremacy. But blacks have not always submitted to these demons. As my other good friend likes to say, if you don't make changes, changes will be made for you. Law enforcement should be held to a higher standard, or at least the same standard as everyone else. As said in a Spider-Man movie, with great power comes great responsibility. I'd like to add accountability. If law enforcement are not going to be held accountable for the crimes, why should anybody? Adhere to a moral and ethical code. Adherence to a moral and ethical code should be expressed in law and culture. Law enforcement should be fearful of the consequences of committing crimes against the people. If they are not, it is indicative of the absence of consequences and the perpetration, the perpetuation of their criminal behavior. They're not afraid to kill you unlawfully because they can explain it away. I feared for my life. I thought I saw a putty cat. If they can, why change? What guy's going to change when he's using the opportunity to do that? He's going hunting every time he puts on a blue uniform and straps on that 9mm 38 if he's carrying that. Joking. This is ridiculous that the system is perpetuating or is helping, assisting to perpetuate these crimes. These cops getting these write-ups. You're writing a cop up. What are you writing a cop up 12 times for? 12 counts of misconduct? Still on force? You trust him with a gun in the community? Check this out. A white Minnesota man seen dragging, hitting cop, and lives to tell about it, right? White Minnesota man, right? The suspect, Luke Alvin, I don't even know how to say his last name. I'm going to try it. Altigen Burns refused to wear a mask at a home improvement store in Hutchinson, Minnesota. He then hit an employee with a piece of lumber and fled the scene. The police were called and caught up with him in a mall parking lot moments later. The police claim he tried to flee the scene again. He hit an officer with a hammer and took off at a high rate of speed while the officer held onto the driver's side of the vehicle. The 31-year-old veteran police officer was taken to the hospital, but it was in stable condition while recovering at home. This guy was arrested on first degree assault with great bodily harm. The incident of the white civilians receiving somewhat fair treatment from police officers after committing crimes is not isolated, they say. Back in March, News One created a list of white men who were violent but apprehended peacefully. White, I already named a couple of them. White guys who were violent, apprehended peacefully. Remember, a little brother, little Latino brother, 13-year-old, he was running. All he did was turn around with his hands up. Couldn't apprehend him. Without killing him. They said Robert, somebody Long, arrested after being accused of shooting and killing 8 people in Atlanta back in mid-March. Right? Nobody shot him. Nobody put a knee to his neck for 9 minutes and 26 seconds. Nicholas Arnold shot, was arrested peacefully by police despite him making violent threats to customers at a restaurant and hitting a woman. In West Hollywood, a white man was arrested peacefully after being accused of double murder and other violent crimes. His name was Peter Manfredonia. Y'all get my point? You see where I'm coming from? This ain't my list. I ain't make these lists up. This comes from Kadra Mans. I forget who she was with. This is Fox News. Fox 20, it might be Fox 29, I'm not sure. No, that's not Fox 29. I don't want to misquote anybody from there. Let me see. Campaign Zero released a study that revealed police killings were at an all-time high, right? Researchers discovered that many of the killings came out of nonviolent offenses. Why is that? How are these dodos killing people with these nonviolent offenses? What in the world's going on? 2020 was the second deadliest year since they started tracking data in 2013. Out of the 1,127 people killed by an officer, 96% of the incidents involved guns, tasers, police vehicles, and excessive force. Although many of the victims didn't commit any crimes. So what's wrong with this picture? The data demonstrates a need for comprehensive solutions to address the persistent and glaring lack of accountability for police violence in America. See, that's like saying, hey, these guys are not being held accountable. This thing is going to continue. Police have killed more than 1,000 people every year since we began tracking data, they said. And as of 2020, data shows hundreds of these deaths occur during routine or non-threatening encounters. Now, that may not seem like a lot, 1,000 people every year if you start looking at the population of the United States. But that's a lot when that happens to you or someone you care about. It should be a lot, period, when it happens to even one person. Another key finding in the research was that black people, despite being only 30% of the country's population, were more likely to be killed. Black people made up 27% of the killing. 36% were unarmed or not perceived to be threatening. So we got to ask the question, what is the motivation? What type of energy is being put out there? Folks are being murdered. by police officers who are not being, they're not a suspect in a violent crime. They're not life. They're not presenting a life-threatening situation. They're not even threatening. What's that all about? That just seems like some coward stuff to me. That seems like that's almost like I'm scared on the job. So, well, here's what's going to happen. It's better. I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. So, whatever's going to happen here, it's going to happen to you, not me. That's what it sounds like. I'm scared. So anything you say or do that scares me is a threat to me, and therefore I'm going to handle a threat the way the book tells me to handle a threat. If I perceive it to be a threat, is I'm in a situation, I make the judgment call, bam. Really? Because, I mean, the statistics say these guys can't even handle the job. If you have a person in custody who's not threatening and they end up dead, that's on the police. They have a duty to protect the people in their custody. Sullivan and his 3 co-defendants had a duty to protect the life of George Floyd. That means that when a guy said I didn't feel no pulse, he should have long before that pushed Chauvin off of Floyd. When the fact that Floyd was handcuffed behind his back, they should have prevented the madman Chauvin from placing his knee on his neck. He was already subdued. Man was afraid to get into the back of the vehicle. So the message they sent out, you won't get into the back of the vehicle, I'm going to make your life miserable. In Sullivan's case, I'm going to end your life. I'm going to end your miserable life. And he proceeded to do so for 9 minutes and 26 seconds. Guess what he wasn't? He wasn't shot. He wasn't roughed up. He didn't get the treatment George Floyd got when they came on the scene. When he was placed under arrest, he didn't get none of that. He didn't get nobody put knee on his neck. Nobody roughed him up, nothing. So you got to wonder, what the hell's going on? What the hell is going on here? Is it okay? Is it open season on a black man? On Latinos, on age doesn't matter? Tamir Rice was 12. Is it okay? It seems that way. I'm just going to say it. It seems okay to kill a black man, especially a black man. And hey, Latino brothers, it's okay to kill y'all too. Watch. Even when they are convicted, they don't get much time. They don't get charged with the highest crime. You know how they arrest you for something, and they give you all these crimes, all this, rah, rah, you got this, 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 and you can plead down, we can plead you down to this, they're going to plead you down to what you probably only should have been charged with. They're going to plead you with all this garbage they're going to add on to it. If you don't, they're going to try to add all this garbage on to get a conviction to scare you into plea bargaining. Why didn't do that with Chauvin? He's on videotape. He's killing a man. Why didn't they charge him with murder one, two, three? All of it. Why didn't they hit him with the, throw the book at this mug? Why ain't they throwing a book at these cops like they throw the book at folks? So with that. This guy, Nicholas Arnold, shot, was carefully eased into the back of a police cruiser. A self-described Trump supporter, white supremacist, with a huge swastika tattooed on his chest, accused, caused a racist disruption at a restaurant, threatened to sexually assault another woman, and then physically attacked another one. How about Freddie Gray in Baltimore, right? Now, I think, personally, I saw that tape. I think the first two cops are responsible for his initial back injury. But apparently, in controlling the narrative, like I said, they weren't even in the picture. They said Freddie Gray's back injury was caused when they put him in a paddy wagon in a police van, which was ridiculous. The only way he could have got hurt like that in the van was he was already injured and really couldn't provide a sufficient aid to himself. So, you know, it's like riding in the old paddy wagon. You got to hold on. If you don't hold on, you're going to come out of there looking like 10 horses ran over you. So that's what happened to Freddie Gray. Freddie Gray was injured when they put him in the bag, in the police wagon. Anyway, that's a whole, I don't know if I did a story on Freddie Gray or not. But anyway, that's one of the, I'm just going to go through a bunch of, I don't have much time. Y'all might remember these guys. Father and son, murdering duel, Gregory and Travis McMichael, after they killed Ahmed Aubrey, who was jogging in the neighborhood. They ran the man down. It wasn't even like they just ran into him. They actually hunted this brother, killing with a shotgun. He's fighting for his life. Travis Michael shot him 3 times with a shotgun. Close range. Close as you can get. When the cops came, you would never know that they had murdered that guy. Know why? They were just talking. No handcuffs. No handcuffs behind the back. No on the streets, on the belly. No knees to the neck. Nothing. And they just murdered a man in cold. Hunted. Not just hunted and murdered a man. In cold blood. Look at the video, y'all. Try that. Well, I'm going to say don't try that at home. Because somebody would have to die for you to even be trying some nonsense like that. A lot of these guys just got away with, but these black guys are being handled with kid gloves. A Florida woman was accused of 2 separate violent felonies, one of which the 20-year-old admitted to being too high on cocaine to remember, right? She was taken into custody as a result and smiled proudly in her mugshot, peacefully taken into custody. All right? Just a lot of people. You can research it, y'all, because I'm running out of time. And I can't go through all of this shit. I'm just going to pick some people out here that might be interested. Oh, Duke Webb killed 3 people and injured 3 others in a shooting at a bowling alley on December 6th in Rockland, Illinois, right? He was arrested without incident. There's just a whole list of them. trying to find somebody who's already said the most salient ones that I know. Kyle Rittenhouse, that was ridiculous. He can walk down the street with a semi-automatic weapon doing a protest, doing a disturbance, and nobody, no police officer thought to take that weapon, a murder weapon, evidence of the murder, in the hands of the perpetrator. Brothers, sisters, when you out there, be mindful of what you're doing. Please do not contribute to your, I'm not saying that you're guilty of anything requiring a death sentence, but be careful what you do, what you say, how you say it. And I'm not saying don't stand up for yourself. You don't have to be no punk for the police officers, but please use your eyes, your ears, and your wits to survive that scenario. Live to fight another day. But it's just a lot. It's a big difference between, like I said, like they're saying here, between how white people are treated and how black people are treated, how black cops are treated and how white cops are treated, right? That black cop that shot that white lady, he got thrown under the bus and thrown in jail. Right? Jason Van Dyke, 13 months before they touched him. And they knew what had happened. They had 8 witnesses and videotape and cover up. So if you're black, get back. And if you're white, you all. All right? So because don't create your own jeopardy, because you already got somebody out there who's going to try to perpetuate it. Until next week, y'all, I want to thank everybody for listening in. All callers, anyone who download this show, I want to thank Kenny Jones, We Talk Productions, and Blog Talk Radio. Until next week, y'all, each one reach one, each one teach one. Remember, use your mind. Think first. Look both ways. I don't know how much caution I can throw at you tonight. I probably don't have enough time, but please be careful, y'all. Until next week, peace out.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song
song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.